You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
His wife Heidi, they're the senior pastors at Tree of Life Church. It's a growing and a vibrant church in Cincinnati, Ohio. He's a dynamic preacher, travels the world sharing the gospel. An influential podcaster who aims to strengthen listeners' faith on the Fruitful Vine podcast, as well as a powerful leader and a man of God in our generation. And God has anointed and appointed you, Brother Urshan, as a voice to reach our world. But this weekend, it's a voice to reach Mission Point in our city. And we're inviting you to this pulpit to come and minister what God's put into your spirit. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost, and I believe that God's going to use the man of God tonight to minister to us. God bless you, Brother Urshan.
God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. Oh, can we give the Lord a great hand clap of praise tonight? Isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. Hasn't it been wonderful to feel his presence and sing praise to his name? Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord is good. It is just a joy to be here tonight at Mission Point in St. John, New Brunswick, Canada. And what a beautiful city. What a beautiful church. What a beautiful campus. Amen. God is good. Amen. God is good. And it's just a thrill to be here. I give honor to your pastor, Bishop, and Sister Carter. God bless Bishop Carter. We're so thankful for this man of God and for his influence and leadership in the United Pentecostal Church in the Atlantic District in the province of New Brunswick. Amen. In Northeast Christian College, I'm grateful for the ministry of Bishop and Sister Carter. Amen. The Lord has blessed this church, St. John, New Brunswick. I've known about you for a long time because the things you have done for the Lord are well known, and we've rejoiced with you and thank God for the many contributions you've made to the kingdom of God. And to be here tonight is indeed a privilege to me. And I thank you for letting me be here, Pastor, and thank you for the kind words of introduction. Good to see Brother Hanscom here. God bless you, Brother Hanscom. Amen. Thank the Lord for Brother Hanscom and the Hanscom family. And we're just blessed of the Lord to be able to be a part of the great kingdom of God. Amen. So good to see all of our ministering brethren here tonight. God bless you. And we look to the word of the Lord. I'm inviting your attention to the book of 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10, and I want to read to you a few verses of Scripture here in the Word of the Lord. We're going to begin at the first verse. So grateful to be a part of this weekend. I believe the Lord is going to do some great things. Praise God. From 1 Kings chapter 10, beginning with the first verse, the Word of the Lord says this: "When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, their apparel, his cupbearers, his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that bear thy wisdom. Behold, the half was not told me. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. There is a half that can't be told. There is a half that can't be told. I wonder if we could just lift up our voices unto the Lord and ask His blessing upon the preaching of His word tonight. God, I thank You that You are here in a very special and mighty way. And I thank You that You have decided to be in our midst with Your presence and with Your power. I thank You, God, that You're anointing this service with Your glory. And I pray for an anointing upon the preaching of Your word and upon Your people. God, we give You thanks and we give You glory for all Your blessings. And we know that You will bless us tonight as we hear and receive Your word. And we give You thanks for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. And amen. God bless you in the name of the Lord. So good to see my dear friends from Moncton. God bless you. So good to see you here tonight. Amen. It was in the heart of King David to build a house for the Lord. He said, how is it that I dwell in a beautiful home and the Lord is not have a temple to dwell in? And it was in David's heart, it was something very near and dear to him that he would build a house for the Lord. The Lord didn't really need that. And he stated that throughout the scriptures. He said, I don't really dwell in temples made with men's hands. But he understood David's heart and he understood David's motive and he blessed it. And he said, I will allow a house to be built for my glory. However, he said, David, it won't be you who builds it. And he explained to him that you are a man of war. That was your assignment in my kingdom. You had war to wage. Your kingdom, your reign, your life was not one of peace. You had a lot of work, a lot of warrior work to do. And you have shed blood. And because you have shed blood, you will not be able to build a temple for the Lord. And so David understood this, and he prepared, even though he wasn't going to be the builder of the temple, he prepared for the temple to be built. And he gave the charge to his son Solomon, as the Lord told him, it'll be Solomon who builds a temple for my name and for my glory. And so David prepared Solomon to build the temple. You see, it was one thing for David to have it in his heart. It was one thing for David to have it in his mind. It was one thing for David to understand the pattern pertaining to the temple, because there is a divine pattern of God. He gave this pattern to Moses in the holy mountain, and that pattern for the tabernacle would be a duplicate in the temple, but it would be on the scale of a temple pattern, but the pattern would be unchanged. It would involve a brazen altar. It would involve a brazen laver. It would involve an inner court. It would involve a table of showbread and candlesticks and an altar of incense, and it would involve the holiest of all places. The pattern is to be unchanged. But David, it's one thing to know it and to believe it and to hear of it and to read about it. It's quite another thing to do it and to see it accomplished, to experience it. And because you have shed blood, because you're a man of war, you will not be able to be the one to execute the vision for the temple. And so prepare Solomon to do so. And he did. David's charge to Solomon had to do with following the law of God, walking in the ways of the Lord, keeping the commandments of God, walking in all of His statutes, and making sure that he had a heart that was right with God, and that if he would do this, the Lord's blessing would be upon him. And Solomon prepared for the building of the temple of the Lord. David said, look, I've got gold, I've got silver, I've got iron, I've got brass. He showed him the pattern of how things were supposed to be. He had done all sorts of legwork, laid a solid foundation that Solomon would be able to use to build the temple of the Lord. And so now Solomon is handed all of this. He was 19 years of age. He was a young man. And now he's going to step into the role of king of Israel. And he wasn't following just anybody. He was following the man after God's own heart. He was following the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was following who had been called the light of Israel. He was following David, the king. This great king who represented really truly a foreshadowing of Christ to come. And now he's going to follow in his footsteps. And he cried unto the Lord and he said, God, I really don't know what I'm doing, to be honest with you. He said, I don't know how to go out and how to come in among your people. These are big shoes to fill, these shoes of King David. And now I have the unenviable task of following in his footsteps. You've called me to build a temple for your name. And Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what I'm doing. And so I'm asking you for something. I'm asking you for an understanding heart. Give me wisdom. And the Bible says that the Lord told Solomon that because you did not ask for length of days, because you did not ask for riches, because you did not ask that your fame would spread throughout the earth, I'm going to let you have all the things you didn't ask for by giving you the thing you did ask for. I'm going to give you wisdom. And through that wisdom, you're going to be able to have the very things that you did not ask me for. It kind of sounds like Solomon was wise even as he was praying the prayer for wisdom. That's wise to pray that prayer. And yet, God gave him a divine wisdom, and he would use this wisdom to build a temple for the Lord. David described that temple as a temple that is exceeding magnificent. That's a solid description. I've never used that word outside of preaching about the temple of the Lord. I've never used it to describe a delicious meal. I've never used it to describe a beautiful view, but that just kind of sums it up. It's like magnificent, but better. Exceeding magnificent, David said, the temple of the Lord would be. You don't even need a definition. You just know what he's saying. And that's what Solomon was going to build, but he had to have wisdom in order to do it. And so God said, I'm giving you wisdom. He knew that he would have wisdom. As soon as he receives the wisdom, the very next morning, he walks right into a very difficult set of circumstances. Two women have gathered in his court. They are bringing their complaint to him. One says that she had went to bed with her baby. And that her baby, when she woke up in the morning, was dead. And she said, but the more that she looked at her baby, she realized it wasn't her baby at all. But that the woman that lived also in the house had suffocated her baby and switched the babies in the middle of the night, leaving this woman to believe that it was her child that died. The other woman said, that's a lie. It's exactly the opposite of what she's saying. And it was a matter of trying to weigh whose report you would believe and who's telling the truth. And that wisdom kicked in. He knew he had it. He knew it was real. He knew God had given it to him, but he had never experienced it until this moment. And in that moment, something flashed through his mind, a point of understanding, an idea, an innovative, instructional thought as to how to proceed. And he said, give me a sword. We're going to divide this baby. Somehow, innately, he knew that the real mother would reveal herself. The false mother said, that sounds like a good idea. Just divide the baby. But the real mother spoke up and said, no, let the baby live. And Solomon said, give it to her. She is the mother thereof. It's one thing to know about the wisdom of God. It's one thing to hear about the wisdom of God. It's one thing to hear even people describe the wisdom of God, but it's quite another thing to experience the wisdom of God. Solomon had been told, you're going to have it. But then to experience it was something on a totally different level. And he put that wisdom into practice in building this exceeding magnificent temple for the Lord. Gold and silver and ivory and brass and iron and skilled craftsmen. And the Lord anointed craftsmen to come alongside Solomon and to apply their skill and their hand to the construction of this temple. And there were ornate fixtures all throughout the temple, and it was done with meticulous precision, and the scale was something that the people of that day had never seen before, and it was on a scale I to describe it would take too long tonight. It was indeed exceeding magnificent, and the fame of this temple and the precise beauty of it all and the grandeur, the spectacular splendor, the fame of the temple and the fame of Solomon and his wisdom spread throughout the earth until it reached the ears of a woman by the name of the Queen of Sheba. And the Queen of Sheba heard of the wisdom of Solomon. And I don't know what it was that she heard. I don't know what story was told her. I don't know what account riveted her. I don't know the descriptions that surrounded the fame that she heard of Solomon. I just know that whatever it was convinced her that she ought to gather up the caravan to leave her position, her place in the earth, and come from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And she did. She gathered that caravan. They had spices. She brought gifts. And she came from the uttermost parts of the earth. And her goal was to prove him. She wanted to see if it was real. She wanted to see if he was as wise as they say he is. She wanted to see if this thing was really true. She came to prove him with hard questions. And so whatever was told her was convincing. Whatever was told her was persuasive enough that she would leave her station and leave for a considerable bit of time to prove Solomon with hard questions and just see if it was really true. And she did. She proved him with hard questions. She asked the most complicated of questions. And the Bible says he just listened and he responded. He answered her all her questions. There was nothing that he knew that he hid from her. If he knew it and she was asking about it, he shared with her his wisdom. But the Bible says that while she stood there, she looked around that temple of the Lord. And she saw how Solomon would ascend as a king. And she saw the servants that would sit at his table. And she saw their prosperity. She looked at him and said, happy are thy servants. That word happy there means prosperous are thy servants. You have to understand that was not a common thing for the servants of a king, especially in those days, to be prosperous. They were servants, typically. But Solomon's servants were different. Solomon wasn't the only one prospering. His servants were prospering. Solomon wasn't the only one who was blessed. His servants were blessed. And she looked around and said something different about this place. The servants are blessed. The servants are happy. The servants are at the king's table. Look at how the king ascends. And she looked at the trappings and she looked at the rhyme and the reason and the structure and all of the symmetry of the, not just the building itself, but the culture and the dynamism of what she was experiencing. And it kind of got overwhelming to her until the Bible says there was no more spirit left in her, which means it took her breath away. It kind of it kind of overwhelmed her for a minute. And she looked at Solomon and said, you have to understand something. What was told me was glorious. What was told me was magnificent. What was told me was enough to dislodge me from my place of comfort and compel me to come from the uttermost parts of the earth. The things I heard were good and great and glorious, but nothing could have prepared me for what I experienced when I arrived at this temple. She said, because the half, hallelujah, has not been told. Hallelujah. I want you to know that there is a half that can't be told. There is a half that can be told. In fact, I'll say there is a half that must be told. We have a mandate from the Lord to tell the truth about who Jesus is. We call it the Great Commission. It's why we're having missions conference this weekend at Mission Point. What a great name, Mission Point. This is a missional church. I love the missions that have flown from New Brunswick and St. John and all throughout this province. I love, we as a fellowship are blessed because of the missionaries who have gone from this province of Canada, this region of the world, have gone throughout the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are whole nations that have been filled with the gospel of Jesus Christ because of missionaries that have gone from this place, hallelujah, and have gone preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've gone into all the world and they have published the good news. Jesus said, go into the highways and into the byways and compel them to come. He said, speak to the blind and to the halt and to the lame and compel them to come. The Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, hallelujah, that carry the good news. How will they hear without a preacher? How shall a preacher preach to them unless he's sent? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, hallelujah, by the word of God. It is imperative that we cry aloud and spare not. It is imperative that we throw our head back and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've got to get in this Bible. You've got to learn the truth. You've got to know the truth and let the truth set you free. You've got to know that He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's got to get a hold of your heart. It's got to get a hold of your mind. It's got to break the chains off of your spirit. It's got to so thoroughly persuade you that this is the way to life everlasting, that it'll be like a fire shut up in your bones, and you'll want to go tell it on the mountain and tell it in the valley low that Jesus saves to the uttermost. Something's got to get a hold of us that makes us want to preach it, that makes us want to teach it, that makes us want to tell it everywhere that we go. We need to tell it so persuasively, so compellingly, that it will actually get the imagination of a person like the Queen of Sheba and make her feel like, I can't stay where I am anymore. I've got to go see what they're talking about. I've got to go feel what they're describing. I need to prove it. I need to know if it's right or not. I need to know if it's real or not. Amen. How many remember the first time you heard about Jesus Christ? Maybe the first time you heard that the Lord our God is one Lord. Maybe you were blessed to be in a family that raised you up on a church bench. But I want you to know, if that's the case, there is somebody in your lineage who didn't know Jesus. Somebody in your lineage. Maybe it was you. Maybe you are that first generation apostolic Jesus name Pentecostal Holy Ghost believer in your family. But regardless, somebody heard of it for the very first time. We're here today because somebody heard a half that must be told, a half that has to be preached, a half that has to be shared, a half, hallelujah. There's a half that can be told, and there's a half that must be told. There's a half that has to be preached. Jesus told his disciples, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to go. I want you to cast out devils. I want you to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I want you to go into this world. I want you to preach the good news. That's what Jesus said when he opened that book in the temple that day. The Bible says he opened up to the prophet Isaiah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to deliver them that are bruised, hallelujah, to deliver the captive, to set them free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. It is imperative to preach the gospel. Oh, I remember the preachers that would come through our church in Kokomo, Indiana. Great preachers of the gospel. My father would have such a variety of preachers come through, and they had such a unique way of presenting the gospel. And when they would preach, it did something. It stirred our hearts. I remember Brother Edwin Harper coming. Brother Edwin Harper was a theologian, would preach the word of God, and he would dig into the scriptures, and he would bring things out of the scriptures, that stuff you'd read forever, but he would find such powerful insights that maybe you had never seen before, and it would make you want to get back in the Bible and stop taking it for granted, but eat it up as much as you can. Preachers who preach the word of God. I remember Brother Michael Anderson would come. Brother Michael Anderson was a great preacher, but he was also a great singer and musician, and he would play the organ, and he would sometimes preach from the organ, and he would preach faith, and he would operate in the gifts of the Spirit, and he would operate in the word of knowledge, and he would operate in the gift of prophecy, and he would move. The Holy Ghost would move as he would minister. He would find somebody that was there that needed a touch from God. He was sensitive to the needs of the people, and he would bring them forward. He'd lay hands on them, and a miracle would happen. A holy miracle of God would happen. I remember as a kid watching in wide-eyed wonder as he would operate in the Holy Ghost, and it would increase the faith of God's people, and it would bring liberty to those that came in bondage. I remember listening to my father and my grandfather preach Jesus. Oh, they preached Jesus. They preached the mighty God in Christ. They preached Jesus to such a degree that you wanted to know him and you wanted to know more about him. Hallelujah. They would preach that the Lord our God is one Lord, and they would give accounts, real life testimonials of people who once believed that the Godhead was divided into three persons, but then God gave to them a glorious revelation that he was in fact one God, hallelujah, manifest in human flesh, justified in the Spirit, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, seen of angels, and received up into glory. Hallelujah. They would lift their voice and say, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I don't know how to describe it, but when I would hear tell of the goodness and the glory and the power of God, it would do something to my young heart. It would quicken my spirit. I would want to know God to a greater degree. I remember Brother Charles Mahaney coming through and preaching. Brother Charles Mahaney had spent years in prison. He had spent years in prison before he came to God. He was no good by any standard or metric. He was cheating people. In fact, I remember him saying one time, he said, I was so low down and dishonest, I used to sell elevator tickets in one-story buildings. I thought, man, that's pretty low down. He said, I bounced so many checks, they thought I was running a basketball team. I thought, man, this guy was no good. Oh, but when he found Jesus, something got a hold of him. It took that dishonesty out of his heart. It took that willingness to cheat and defraud out of his heart. And he gave his life to God, and God called him to preach, anointed him as an evangelist of fire. And he traveled the world preaching that what Jesus did for me, he can do it for you. And prisoners, both natural and spiritual, came to God in his ministry. And I watched his ministry as he would preach the word of God. I remember Brother J.T. Pugh coming through. And Brother Pugh, oh, Brother Pugh, what a preacher, what a prophet, what a poet, what a patriarchal influence in our fellowship. When he would open up the word of God, he would begin to just walk through the word of God, and it would come alive as he would just rummage through the passages, stories, and texts that we'd heard many times. He would find a poetic power, a prophetic significance, and he would reach down deep inside of his own soul. His own experiences would come out in his preaching, and I remember hearing it. It would move me to tears. There was one time Brother Pugh preached in our church a message entitled The Removal of Humiliation. Oh, that message just brought us to a place of silent pondering before God. I was 14 years old, and when he preached, it was so powerful that we were moved to prayer and to tears. There was no music when the preaching was finished, and really there was no loudness at all. It was a quiet Selah, if you please. But we walked away changed by the word of God. I remember there was no chit-chat happening in the sanctuary that day as people meandered back to the back of the sanctuary and walked out to their cars. There was no casual conversation happen. Their mind had been provoked by the word of God. Their spirit had been stirred by the word of God. And as they made their way back to their cars, it was a holy hush that fell upon every mouth that left the building that day. I remember getting into the car myself with my parents, my mother and father, each looking out their respective windows, tears still freshly having stained their cheeks. My mother broke the silence and she said, Joel, you've heard us talk about old time preaching, haven't you? And I said, oh, yes. She said, that was old time preaching. Old time preaching. Tell it. Tell it to the poor man. Tell it to the rich man. Tell it to the widow. Tell it to the young lady. Tell it to the young man. Tell it to the old man. Tell it to every nation, tribe, and tongue, and kindred. Tell them that Jesus saves. Tell them that Jesus heals. Tell them that Jesus delivers. Ha! Ha, ha. Oh, yes, hear me now. I want you to know that there is a half that must be told. But you need to hear what I'm telling you. As great as preaching is, as powerful as preaching is, and God hath chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And as powerful and as poignant as preaching is, you have to know something. No message preached will ever be able to adequately and completely convey the glory of Almighty God. Understand that His is a glory that no tongue can adequately tell. There is a half that must be told, but there is a half that cannot be told. It can only be experienced. Can only be experienced. Brother Hanscom, I'm going to try for the rest of my life. I've given 30 years of my life. This year was my 30th year in full-time preaching ministry. I've given my 30 years that I've been preaching to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to say it in a way that people will hear it. I want to say it in a way that people will understand it. I appreciate the preachers who even sometimes they'll bring in object lessons. They'll give you a visual aid, something to help express the message that they're conveying. Sometimes they'll give a handout and put it in your hand so that you can follow along carefully as they teach the word of God. Anything we can do to tell it better, tell it more persuasively, tell it more convincingly. Oh, I want you to tell it until you come from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Jesus Christ. I want to tell it to you until you believe it enough that you'll step away, Queen of Sheba. Step away from your comfort zone and come into the glory and into the power of God. I'm going to preach it to you. Yes, I am. Your pastor preaches from this sacred desk the word of God. Oh, I want to tell it to you like it is tonight. I want you to know the power of prayer. I want you to know that when you pray, something happens in the heavens. Something happens in the spirit world. Heaven is touched when you pray. Hell is shaken when you pray. Chains are broken when you pray. I can tell it like I just told it, but there's a half I'll never be able to tell you about prayer. You'll only be able to know it once you've experienced the power of prayer, once you yourself have walked past the gates of fleshly resistance and into the glory of God, and you're looking at Him face to face. You're going to say, I heard him talk about it, but I never knew it was on this wise. Oh, I wish I could tell you. Oh, there's something in my spirit today. I want to tell you about the glories of worship. Oh, what happens when you clap your hands? The power of praise. What happens when you wave your arms? I know that seems silly to someone who's never done it before. Oh, but there's a half that can't be told. What if you just broke out into the aisle and took off dancing? I know that seems silly to those who have never done it. And I can't tell you the half. I can only tell you the part that I can share. There's a liberty that comes on you when you begin to praise the Lord. There's a liberty that comes upon you. Just as you look as though there's liberty, there is a real liberty that gets a hold of your spirit when you begin to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I can tell you all day long about repentance. Oh, there's a freedom that comes from repentance when you really do walk away from your sins, when you really do walk away from your wicked ways, when you really do turn your back on the things that grieve the Holy Ghost. There's a power there in that repentance. I want to tell you about it. I want to tell you about the good things that'll happen in your home when you begin to repent and truly turn from your wicked ways. But you'll only really know it for sure when you do it and when you experience it for yourself. Oh, my friend, I wish I could convey it the way it needs to be conveyed about what happens when you're baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'll go to my grave, Lord willing, telling everybody I can. It is my desire to spend the rest of my life lifting up the precious name of Jesus, commanding all men everywhere to repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I'd like to tell you about what it feels like when you come up out of that water and all of your sins are left in that watery grave. I'd like to tell you adequately. I wish my tongue had the utterance. I wish my vocabulary could capture it all. I wish I had the adjectives. I wish I had the phraseology. I wish I had a way of telling you. But I'm just going to have to tell you what I can. There's another half to it. It can't be told. It can only be experienced. only be experienced. I can tell you that you'll speak in tongues. I can tell you about that fire that falls. I can tell you about when the Holy Ghost enters on the inside. But you'll only know it for sure when you come from the uttermost parts of the earth and experience it for yourself. Your pastor will do everything in his power to tell you about the fire of hell. He'll try with every word of description he can to warn you to a degree that you'll not want to go there, that you'll recognize the error of your way. But there's a half even of that that you'll only understand when you get there. Oh, I love to talk about heaven tonight. But there's a half that can't be told. I want to tell you. We try to say, train up your children in the way they should go. Don't deprive them from the house of God. And people live, I wonder if that's right. I wonder if that's true. I wonder if that's really important. Forget all of that. Step into it and see the half that can't be told. This coming Sunday, we're going to have faith promise. We're going to try to tell you about the glory of giving, about the power of giving. I don't know how to explain it. All I can do is share the truth. Something happens when you release it into the hands of God. You give to the Lord, and there's more in this hand when you've given than there was before you gave. I don't know how to tell it. I don't know how to tell it. My words fall short. You just have to experience it in order for it to really make sense. Hallelujah. A man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an opinion. And there are a lot of people in our world today with lots of opinions. But I'm glad, so glad, I'm glad, so glad that I stepped away from my earthly possessions many years ago and I decided to follow Jesus. I came from the uttermost parts of my world and I said, Lord, show me everything. And it's unsearchable, his riches. It's unsearchable, his riches. But there's somebody here tonight, he wants to reveal them to you. Hallelujah. I wonder if there's somebody here who wants to know it. Not just hear it. I wonder if you want to know it. I wonder if you want to know about it. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, when you stand before God in judgment, you're going to stand there with all of your reasonings and all of your excuses. And the Bible says that the Queen of Sheba will be there. The Queen of the South is going to rise up in judgment with this generation. And she's going to condemn it. Why? How? What will she say? She will say, I heard of the wisdom of Solomon. And I came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. She came from the uttermost parts of the earth. And sometimes we won't even go a few miles. She came from the uttermost parts of the earth. And sometimes we won't even depart from a habit that is hindering the work of God in our life. God help us. She'll rise up in judgment with us. And she will condemn us. Because she came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. You know who else is going to be there? The men of Nineveh are going to be there. And they're going to condemn this generation. Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. I want you to know that before Abraham was, I am. That's what Jesus said. I want you to know he's the greatest of the great. He is exceeding, exceeding magnificent. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I know you've heard it. Oh, you've heard it. But have you experienced Jesus? Have you experienced the half that can't be told. I want somebody to lift your hands right now and say, Lord, I want that experience. I need that experience. I need that experience. Hallelujah. 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 Have you experienced the power of prayer? Have you experienced the power of faith? Have you experienced the healing of a relationship? It's time to step into the half that can't be told. I wonder if somebody could stand to your feet right now all across this building and say, Lord, I'm ready to step into the half that has never been told me. It can only be experienced, my brother. It can only be experienced. I can preach to you about a step of faith all night long, but until you experience what a step of faith can do, I can preach to you all night long about the power of trusting God, but until you experience trusting God, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I remember when I went to Israel. First time that I was able to go to Israel, and I had heard so many good things about it. Pastor, they told me, it's the greatest place in the world. Go to Israel. And they said, you're going to love it. And I believed them. But they talked so much about it and so well about it that I wish they'd stop, because it would never be able to live up to their description. And I thought, you know, I know it's going to be great. It's the Holy Land. I know it's going to be great to see where my Lord walked. But I thought there's no way it can live up to the hype. But when I got there, I don't know how to explain it. I got out onto that Sea of Galilee on the edge of that boat. And over the intercom of the boat was played the song, Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of thy hands. Forever I love you, forever I stand. And as I listen to that song, I look down upon those waves as the boat just cut through them, and I realize these are the waters my Savior walked on. And I just leaned over the side of that boat and I wept before the Lord. I said, Lord, it was told me. That's what brought me here, is what was told to me. But the half has not been told. The experience can't be told. It can only be experienced. God has an experience for you tonight. God has an experience for you tonight. Oh, preacher, I've heard it. I know. But I want you to experience what you've never heard, because it can't be told.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.